Good morning, everyone. Welcome to House Call. We are live here from the campus of Idaho State University in sunny Pocatello. I love saying sunny Pocatello. You know, it's not sunny California, it's sunny Pocatello. Finally, we got the sun out. Gosh, last week I felt like we'll never have summer. Well, we're excited to have you all on our show this morning. We have a great guest and an amazing topic, which is actually pretty dear to me because you guys will find out. Let's put it that way. So, Michelle Butterfield. Michelle, welcome on the show.
Good morning. Thank you.
Yeah. So, Michelle, you're a health education specialist for the seniors with Department of Southeastern Idaho Public Health, right? Is that correct?
Yes. I'm the Falls Prevention Program Coordinator, and I'm also the Comprehensive Cancer Control Program Coordinator and also Physical Activity Nutrition Coordinator for Southeast Idaho Public
Health. Well, you got a lot of different hats.
Oh, yeah. We're a lot of different. But keeps me busy. Well, they do definitely all kind of tie together, for sure.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about... let's just generally talk about health.
Okay.
Why don't you start off in telling us why you decided to do, or your department division decided to enroll these programs, and what is the need out there?
Well, basically the goal of any community is that we really want to build healthy communities, and we really want to promote people being active, eating healthy, having a balanced life type of thing. So really, the more healthy you can be, we're going to be able to avoid some chronic illnesses, medical expenses, and so forth, but just really trying to bring into the forefront building healthy communities.
That's pretty awesome, actually. And what are the initiatives that you guys are taking to get us there?
Well, some of the things that I do, we can kind of start with what I do with my physical activity and nutrition program,
right,
is I currently work with child care providers. So what the goal is there is really starting at that early age and instilling healthy habits for young children in regards to being physically active, eating healthy. So I, like, just as last night, I gave a workshop at a local child care provider here in town, and just we used the Healthy Kids, Healthy Future curriculum, and just really focusing on kind of like the My Plate, where you're creating your meals out of just being healthy, making those healthier choices.
So My Plate is not mac and cheese.
And it's not saying that you can't have those things, but those aren't going to be our options all the time.
Right.
Being able to make the healthier choice most of the time, and really realizing that, like, whole foods, having fruits and vegetables, drinking your water, not saying you can't have treats once in a while, but making sure that you're making those choices, healthier choices, most of the time. And really, when you can start with young children and kind of break that cycle. I always say that I've had feedback back to me from parents that they're at the grocery store and their child is turning and saying, "No, Mom, I don't want to get pop. We need to get water." Or, "No, let's get fruits and vegetables, not the candies and the treats and things like that." And I gave an example last night at the workshop I was teaching, that you're at the checkout line at the grocery store, and you really don't see fruits and vegetables at the checkout line. You're seeing the treats and things like
Quite
that.
True.
And you're being, you know, kids saying, "Mommy, I want this. Mommy, I want that." And it'd be nice to not have some of those things there tempting us. I'm not saying that they shouldn't be in the stores, but just making sure that we're making those healthier choices. And so starting at a young age with young children is really, really important, because you want to create those healthy habits that are going to carry on through their lifespan.
You know, these grocery stores sometimes remind me of casinos. Not that I spend equal amount of time in either one of them. But it's very hard to find your way around, and somehow systematically they direct you towards certain places. I mean, the grocery store, the way it's designed, you know, you're like you said, you have so easy access to areas that are refrigerated, which is all the boxes and, you know, ice creams and all that stuff. And processed food and fresh produce is just not easy to get.
Well, they try to shop on the perimeter. And like I said, I am not nobody's perfect. I have treats. I just try to, it's all that moderation. But really, when you think of moderation, everybody's moderation is different. Somebody might allow themselves a treat every day, maybe once a week, maybe once a month. But I think, like, moderation is different for everybody. But basically, that you are making that healthier choice most more times than not.
I'm intrigued with your program with the children. So you said the child care providers. So mostly it's like kindergartens, daycares,
actually, it's early child. I mean, we start as whatever age the child care center accommodates. And so really I've worked here with ISU Early Learning Center. They take very young infants, because if you think about not just the eating, is the physical activity. So kids want to be mobile, brain development, eating comes part of that, but it's just the whole like healthy child on what we can do to try to nurture and encourage children to just get a healthy start at life. And so when I've done these childcare workshops, I've taught them up at our facility. Now I actually go to the workshops and do a lot of one-on-one. And it's really been successful. I've actually had the opportunity and the resources to purchase incentive items to promote physical activity. I have painted caterpillar hopscotches on several childcare centers' playgrounds. The unfortunate thing is that those don't necessarily last. They wear and tear and things like that. But we're trying to come up with some ideas that we can instill some like facility change or like a sandbox or things that like basketball, soccer ball, anything that's going to encourage activity. And I'm always a big supporter of once you get people moving, whether it's young children, older adults, middle, you know, any age, once people become physically active, I believe the healthy eating kind of comes into play. Someone isn't going to go out and go do a walk or a bike ride or swim or whatever and exert themselves and feel good and then go and just fuel themselves with something that's just definitely going to negate exactly what they just did. And
you're right. We get more conscientious of what we eat after the fact that, gosh, I've worked hard so hard and I don't want to mess it up.
Yes, and
right?
So you go work hard. And like I said, I just always want to reinforce that, you know, a treat is a treat. Now, that's something you're not going to have all the time. And you got to give yourself a little bit of those allowances once in a while, because there's always food is everywhere, whether it's a party or a holiday or birthday party, you know, anything. Food is such a social, feel good, get together, bonding, families, friends, and everything. So we're really not going to get away from it. But if we can just have the mindset that we, when you are having a function, that we choose those healthier options.
Well, that sounds really good. So sounds like you've had good success with these daycare providers. So let's just talk about, you also oversee the fall prevention program.
Yes.
And tell us a little more about that, because that's something which is really close to my heart, because I take care of folks with chronic diseases, especially with the kidneys. And we have a very high risk of morbidity and mortality attached
with
to
falls.
The falls.
Definitely.
Tell us what you guys do and what is out there.
Okay, so with the falls prevention program, statistically, 1 in 3 older adults over the age of 65 are going to experience a fall in every year. And I always say when I'm teaching workshops that when you have a fall, and a lot of times people will break a hip or they'll just have head, you know, whatever kind of injuries that can come from falls. But the saying is never, it's all uphill from here. You'll always hear, oh, I know somebody that had a fall. It's kind of all downhill from here. But we really want to change that. So fall prevention is really important, because we really, older adults want to remain living independently in their homes as long as they can. And so really, age is just a risk factor in itself. But falls are not really a part of the aging process.
Right.
And how we can prevent falls, the number one way to prevent falls is staying physically active. And why is that? Because you are going to be keeping your muscles toned. We lose our muscle tone as we age, unfortunately. But if we can keep our flexibility in check, our balance in check, and our strength, and really work on those things, I oversee 11 fit and fall proof exercise sites within our health district, within Health District 6. And I go do site visits. I train volunteer class leaders to teach exercise classes twice a week for at least 45 minutes. And these sites are senior centers, community centers, some are at churches. I have one, but through Idaho State University New Knowledge Adventures Program. And when I go do these site visits, you will not believe visibly I can walk in and see how these individuals are improving their balance, their strength. I provide exercise bands, and I'll get a text message from my class leaders or a phone call saying, hey, we need more of the black bands. Well, black is the hardest strength. And so this is showing me that these old, our bodies are meant to move. We unfortunately choose not to move our bodies.
Right.
And as we age, it's kind of like if you don't use it, you lose it. And I so believe that. I have individuals that have been doing this program that have gotten so strong. I always ask for success stories when I do my my end of quarter reports and whatnot. And I'll hear, oh, my grandchildren have said, Grandma, your balance has gotten so much better. People's vertigo has went. I mean, there's numerous things. One gentleman used to use a walker, and then he went down to using a cane. Now he is using no assisted device for him to walk. And they are getting so strong, and they are preventing falls. And it's just, it is, I love it. And I love seeing the changes.
So these are people. These are free community resources. Is that correct?
They are.
Through your department?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would love to know more about it because, I mean, obviously a lot of us physicians would take care of patients with chronic diseases. Fall is one of our biggest hurdle. And a lot of times what I've seen is we act after the fact. A fall has occurred, a bone is broken, and now we're saying, okay, well, it sounds like you're pretty weak and let's send you for physical therapy, and it's just a vicious cycle. So we would love to, I mean, as providers in the community, I think we would love to learn more about these resources because, you know, I'm learning more today.
Yeah, and it's all about prevention.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the good problem that I have right now is that my classes are pretty full. And so, but what I do is that people, I just had a phone call as of yesterday from a provider here in town, and they call me. I have DVDs that I can send out. I have falls prevention information. I have packets ready to go that I will send an individual. I will come to an individual's home and do a home safety check. And I work with some of the service providers here in our community to do those things. Sometimes people don't necessarily want you to come into their home, but I have a packet that I let them go home and do their own homework, basically. I always say we baby-proof a home or grandchild-proof a home for safety, but we don't fall-proof our homes. And so just kind of having the mindset of making sure we don't have loose rugs, we have nightlights in our hallways, we have grab bars. I always say, when I'll ask the audience, who has grabbed a towel rack as they're ready to fall into the bathroom? How did that towel rack work for you? And they're like, it didn't work. You need to have industrial grab bars installed in the shower, the tub, by the toilet, whatever people need to be able to prevent a fall. And a lot of it's a lot of clutter in the home. You don't want to tell somebody, you don't want to tell somebody to get rid of any belongings that mean things to them, and they don't want to get rid of things. But a lot of times they have things around because those are the things they're holding on to as they're walking from the bedroom to the kitchen or to the bathroom, wherever they're going. But really, that clutter becomes a risk factor.
Do you do any of these classes for the seniors out in the parks in places like this where community will just come and show up and join?
Well, we're not at the parks yet, but that's a good little segue into age-friendly parks. And so I've been working with local community parks, and I conduct surveys. If we don't make our parks age-friendly, you go to a park and you'll see young kids playing. Well, if grandparents are there with their grandchildren, but there's mobility issues and they can't, there's a lot of parks that have isolated drinking fountains. Now that I've been doing these park surveys, I'm just paying more attention to, we have awesome parks in our community, but if there's somebody that's in a walker or in a cane or a wheelchair for that matter, and they can't get over to the drinking fountain because it is an island out in the middle of the grass, how's that going to work for somebody?
I see it all the time.
And so I have been doing surveys, and I collect the results. I work with Parks and Rec in these communities, and I'll tell you what, there are some community parks that are making changes. They're putting in walkways, pathways. They're making the curbs ADA compliant, access compliant, because really going to fit and fall classes is awesome, but we want to have walkable, bikeable, mobile communities that people can walk and bike. And because I always tell people, how did you get into this room? And they'll say, walk. Okay, what is the easiest form of exercise? Walking. If you're able to walk, walk. And you're going to get good at what you practice. If you sit all day, you're going to get really, really good at sitting. How's that going to be for your health? Not so great. Get up and move, be mobile. And so really with these parks is that these parks are free in our communities. And so if you can go and be able to walk, watch your grandchildren, have shade, feel safe. Safe is a big concern for older adults. And so a lot of the themes with these park survey results is wanting to feel safe. And so lighting, a lot of the lights are there. We just got to trim back the trees.
Mm-hmm.
We love our trees for the shade, but it's, but yeah, so there's just, what it basically is just creating that awareness of how our communities can support and invite people of all ages to remain active through the lifespan.
Yeah, this is a great point. I never thought of this from that side, but it makes all the sense now if you've mentioned it, easy access for our seniors mobility-wise to these parks. I mean, I can imagine one of the parks that I go with my kids a lot, Sister City, and you mm-hmm. enter, and then just to get to the top, I mean, there's a really steep hill that you got to climb, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I'm going to give out a number. It's 282-4555. And we're going to take a quick break right about now, and we'll be back and talk more with Michelle about access in our community for all these amazing services that the Department of Public Health has. Thank you.
KISU works hard to ensure the reliability of our FM signal, but occasionally, seasonal weather or equipment failures cause us to go off the air. Get continued access to local news and all the programs you enjoy through the Listen Live link at KISU.org. Or try using your web-connected Amazon or Google smart speaker with the command Play KISU.
Welcome back, everyone, to House Call. I'm here with Michelle Butterfield. Michelle runs several amazing programs at Southeastern Idaho's Public Health Department. We were just talking about the fall prevention program for the elderly and the seniors and how access to the public parks makes a big difference. So if any of you folks out there who have faced certain difficulties in accessing these parks, and like you mentioned, you know, the water fountains at the other end, and there's a lot of grass over there and you can't roll your wheelchair mm-hmm. or walk to there, or you found, I mean, the other day my mom was walking with us and she tripped over a curb the way it was designed because the steepness mm-hmm. was too much. So please give us a call. Our number is 282-455, or if you have any other comments, ideas of how we can provide more services in our communities. So let's just, you know, we finally have the sun out, right? We had mm-hmm. rain for like God knows forever, and snow is still up on the hills. So now that the sun, the beautiful sun is out in sunny Pocatello, what can we do to make the most use out of it without getting melanoma?
Well, we want to be out and be active, and uh-huh. that's very, very important. But with that, during this, well, winter months and summer months, sun's out all around. People kind of sometimes think you don't need the sun protection.
Well, they say the winter. Sun's out, the bun's out, but we don't want to do that, right?
It's
just like a perfect recipe.
So really, 1 in 5 Americans will develop skin cancer in their lifetime. I actually had a little precancerous spot removed off my chest as of like a month ago, and that was kind of surprising, but really, everybody has probably had a sunburn in their lifetime. Well, sun damage is accumulative, and so once you've damaged that skin, it's there. But really what you want to practice, we really promote the slip, slap, slop, and wrap. And so what that is that you're going to slip on a shirt, you're going to slap on some sunscreen, you're going to wrap, slap on a hat, slop on some sunscreen, and then wrap on some sunglasses.
In the same sequence.
Well, it can be in whatever.
Just
but yeah, but
so
you just
slip,
think
slap,
about the slip,
wrap.
Slop, slop, wrap. It's kind of a tongue twister there. But basically, just really recognizing that you think about we really, in being healthy and trying to take care of our bodies and doing prevention measures to stay healthy, is that this is part of it. Our skin is so important to us, and it's basically an organ, is, you know, just protecting our bodies.
Yeah, the largest organ.
Largest
in our
organ
body.
In our bodies. And really being able just to get in that practice and in the habit of putting on the sunscreen to protect ourselves. And so what you really want to focus on is that you want, I'll ask people when I'm giving education presentations on, you know, when is the harshest during the day or most damaging, and they'll say about the 10 to 2, but we'll take it to the 10 to 4. And they always say, if you can look down and you don't see your shadow, that is directly above you, and just, you know, seek shade, make sure you have your sunscreen on. We want to make sure you're reapplying every 2 hours. If you're swimming, sweating, you know, exercising, whatnot, making sure you are reapplying. I do a lot of education at public pools, and it's really interesting. You'll see sunscreen being applied, spray sunscreen, lotion sunscreen, whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then what do the kids do? They run directly into the water. So you really want to put that sunscreen on when you're at home. Let it take about 15 to 20 minutes so that it's going to seep in and penetrate the skin so that they can protect it. And so you're putting it on, and so we just try to remind people, just think of the concept that it needs to go in, needs to penetrate, needs to set in, and then get out in the sun.
So I got a question for you, because I mean, even as a physician, I get confused on this. You go in the store and you have option of going from SPF 5 to SPF 100. Why do we need such a wide range to choose from?
Well, it's gonna just how much it protects you, but what how like buy? Long. Really, just anything, probably at least a 30 or higher. I tend to just do like a 45, 30 to like a 50, but you'll see the ones up into the longer ranges. But as long as you have the SPF 30 or higher, is going to be
adequate
good
for us.
Yeah, it's going to be adequate for you. Okay. You want to make sure you're looking for a sunscreen that the broad spectrum, because that's going to be protecting you from the UVA and the UVB mm-hmm. rays, which can both cause skin cancer. And melanoma is a very aggressive skin cancer. And you'll see a lot of these young children. I mean, I grew up in the age of baby oil, laying out probably on tin foil, you know, sun, you know, this and that. But really, statistics and guidelines are what, a lot of statistics are what guide the recommendations and guidelines. We start knowing a little bit better. I mean, I grew up in the era that you didn't wear your seat. I mean, it's just things, statistics and incidences change what we need to be doing for prevention.
And education, I think.
And education, you're exactly.
That made a big difference.
You're exactly
in things like
right.
what we're discussing today mm-hmm. for people to be more aware. So. Mm-hmm. Being out there, walking, mobility, and you mentioned about some amazing classes in fall prevention. Mm-hmm. Where can people reach if they are interested in seeking any of these educational classes and sessions that you guys have?
I just actually recommend that they call me. I do have information on our website, but if I list the current classes on the website, some of the Fit and Fall classes don't teach consecutively, and I don't ever want somebody to go to the website and then show up to a class and they've taken a summer break, or you know. So rather than changing the website all the time, I just ask people to call me, and they can reach me, Michelle Butterfield, at 208-239-5207, and they can actually go to our Southeastern Idaho Public Health website, which is siphidaho.org, and they can look for that program. I just don't, like I said, I'd rather have them talk to me, because I like to talk to people, see what they need. I've sent out numerous packets. I've given out information, because bottom line is, it's a community issue. It's a public health issue. It's a nationwide issue with falls, and we want to really encourage people to practice fall prevention strategies to remain living independently in their home as long as possible.
You know, the more I learn about the services at Idaho Public Health in Southeastern Idaho, you guys have provided us, I mean, it's so amazing to know there's so much out there mm-hmm. and there's so much that we don't utilize that we mm-hmm. could. Now, we got just a few minutes left, so I want to touch briefly on your other program, which is the Comprehensive Cancer Control Program. What does this cancer control program mean?
So the three cancers that we're primarily targeting are HPV, and then colorectal cancer, and then skin cancer.
So very much preventable,
mm-hmm. Everything.
Right?
So yeah, as a public health agency, we are about prevention. And through my schooling and things like that, everything is about prevention. You know, treatment and getting diagnosed with a chronic illness or whatever it is, whether it's acute, chronic, whatever the situation is, that can be really expensive. And a lot of these things can be prevented. A lot of times people wait until they have a heart attack or a stroke, unfortunately, before they start taking healthy mm-hmm. measures in their life. And if we can just, not that you have to just jump in head first, but if you can look at your life and look at like
right.
your habits and behaviors and just change a couple things and let those become a habit, and then make changes to a couple other things. Because really, it's just taking care of you and making your health a priority. And we don't take care of ourselves enough. And I think just making sure we're taking care of ourselves.
A very powerful word that you just mentioned, and my brother is a big, big fan of this, and we had a long discussion last night about his habit.
Mm-hmm.
He's finished reading a book called The Atomic Habits, and mm-hmm. I'm going to start it soon. And it all talks about, you know, you just got to take one little step. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we aim mm-hmm. for too big, but like you said, you know what? Mm-hmm. Just go out for a walk for mm-hmm. 15, 20 minutes mm-hmm. and make it your habit. This is the first thing you're going to do in the day or when you come back from work. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the key.
And just walking. And I feel like when people get moving, they start feeling better, and we need to support everybody in our community. If you see people out doing stuff, just that little smile and a wave and say, good job.
I love it.
I gave a thumbs up to a gal walking this morning, and she smiled. And I'm like, we just need to really hone it in and take care of everybody in our community, because really, bottom line is, we want to build healthy communities.
You know, I love this sense of community that you've repeatedly said about doing it for our communities, mm-hmm. and that's the powerful thing, because that leads to a healthy community and all of us getting together.
And it's all about prevention.
Yeah. So, we just got a minute left. Tell us anything else that you'd like to wrap up with. Slip, slop, wrap.
Yeah,
slip,
just slip, make slap, sure when, slop, you're out, when you're out having fun with your families or eating at your events, just be safe. And I will say, we have tons of programs at our public health office that people really have no idea that we do. Every intern volunteer that's come through our office and helping, their eyes are just open, and they are such in awe with everything that we do up there. We provide excellent services, and tap into our website, like our Facebook page.
Well, that's amazing. Well, once again, I would like to thank Michelle Butterfield. You're the Health Education Specialist, Seniors Fit and Fall Program, Comprehensive Cancer Control Program, and the Physical Activity and Nutrition Program for the Southeastern Idaho Public Health. Michelle, thank you for
All
being
right.
on the
thank
show.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, once again, thanks to our listeners. We will be back in a week or two. We got it. 2 weeks. Yep.